Today, the antidote to bail-in is now in Parliament. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysts. It's worth your latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Robbie Barwick. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Martin.
Very important news. We have a chance to get bail-in sorted.
We do. The breaking news happened on Thursday, but everything was happening on Thursday and Friday in regards to the cash ban, so we had to postpone this announcement. But the news is, on Thursday, One Nation Senator Malcolm Roberts introduced a bill that our party, the Citizens Party, helped to draft, which is a very short, sweet bill. I've got the explanatory memorandum here. It's called the Banking Amendment Deposits Bill 2020, and this bill will amend the law that was rammed through in 2018 that we say includes a danger that they could bail in our bank deposits. This bill amends that and stops it from being able to be used. So if they want to do it, they're going to have to do it openly and through proper legislation, not through this backdoor means.
Right. And the critical thing about this bill is that it basically removes the current ambiguity, right, about whether deposits are or aren't bailable, as it were, because there is a large crack in the current bill that effectively allows them potentially to ram it through. And what this bill would do is basically turn that off.
No, exactly. So the issue, let's give a little bit of background to this before I go through the specifics of the bill. In March 2013, which is, 7 years ago this month, a lot of the world was shocked when they heard the news coming out of Cyprus that the authorities had come up with a way to save Cyprus's two banks by taking the savings of the depositors, right? And it turned out it wasn't some ad hoc thing. It was a policy they were implementing, which the word seeped out, called bail-in, right? Once people started paying attention to this, the other thing that was a shock in March 2013 for a lot of people is to discover that we weren't depositors, we were actually unsecured creditors, right? Which is a technical accounting term, which even though it's true, does not reflect the relationship that the bank customer has with the bank in their mind. They put the money in out of trust. And you and John Adams did a very good show on this on your other channel. And I really urge people to watch that, this elaboration on what a depositor actually is. But this was a shock to people. And the system was taking advantage of that legal narrow definition to say, see, you're an unsecured creditor, we can take your money, right? You unsecured creditors should be aware of the risk they could lose their money. Now, our organisation, Martin, was very shocked by this occurrence because it was so clear that here was a way the system had come up with to save itself at the people's expense. And we'd been fighting since the global financial crisis for proper banking reform. It was clear what caused that crisis, namely, you know, insane speculation, things like derivatives that you and I have talked about. No efforts to clean that up, right? Rein banks in. Break them up through Glass-Steagall as we advocate, so that banks with deposits aren't allowed to speculate. No effort to do that. Instead, this outfit called the Financial Stability Board, which is headquartered at the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland, which is known as the Central Bank of Central Banks, had cooked up this policy called bail-in. April 2013, a few weeks after the Cyprus bail-in, the Financial Stability Board produced a report. And that report was basically a status report for how a country's going in complying with this new bail-in system, because they expected all these countries to pass laws to comply with it. And that report revealed that they had announced this policy actually in 2011. Cyprus was the first chance to introduce to implement it. And this April 2013 report revealed that bail-in legislation is in train, and they rattled off about six countries, one of which was Australia. And I can tell you from that moment on, that's where our organisation has made a bit of a name for itself in banging the drum on this, because we've been on the case ever since, trying to track down this legislation, etc. 2017, the government announces this law, right, this crisis resolution powers law. They rammed it through on Valentine's Day 2018. And in that law, there is a section which is very broadly worded, which basically says that conversion and write-off powers that were being given to APRA can apply to a certain type class of capital, AT1 and T2 capital, which covers such instruments that are known as hybrid securities or bail-in bonds. And then it's added, or any other instrument. And the language was so broad that we thought, no, that, you know, if you let that kind of law stand, in a crisis, they'll take that loophole and drive a truck through it, right? And that's why we've been jumping up and down about this law. So officially where we're at is this: the government denies that that law can be used to bail in deposits, and it denies that it will be used to bail in deposits. We say, we like the way the government's denied that, by the way. You should see the letters they've written to constituents, the submissions they've made to parliamentary inquiries. It is so firmly worded. It is crystal, it is black, in black and white, it is clear cut. The government's denials, you could take them to the bank. The problem is they're not in the legislation. The legislation does not reflect that wording at all. And that's why we need to move this kind of an amendment to take that loophole in legislation and completely close it up. So it cannot do what the government says anyway, they don't intend to do, but this legislation will make sure that it can't be used for that.
Right, and there's a bit of history there, because when that bill was put through a couple of years ago, there was an attempt to try and, at that point, make it much clearer that deposits weren't included. And basically, the Senate went round it, and the bill was passed despite the fact that there was an attempt to try and actually change the wording to make it tighter.
I was there that day. I met with the Senator for Banks, Jane Hume, with Dr. Wilson Sy, APRA researcher, and I met with the Senator for Banks, Jane Hume, in the morning. She had chaired this inquiry into this bill that was passed in 2018. She gave us a quick meeting, then hurried up and said, I've got to get back to the chamber. And we thought, well, we better go and see what they're doing. And we went in there and we watched bail-in pass in front of our eyes with only a handful of senators present, I think 8 in total, right? But the night before, we'd had a meeting with One Nation. One Nation had said, let's move an amendment, right? If that clause is the key clause, let's close it up. So we helped draft that amendment. They presented it to the government in the morning and said, we want to move an amendment to this bill. The government said, the government was sly, in fact, very deceptive. The government said, oh, let's get our government lawyers to look at the wording for you, right? And while One Nation was waiting for the government to get back to them, the government rushed the bill through the Senate and into law, knowing what One Nation intended to do, but making sure that they were out of the chamber, right? This is one of the reasons, not just the loose wording, but the government's behaviour, and the fact that every other jurisdiction in the world all members of the G20 have agreed to comply with this policy. They all have bail-in applying to deposits, right? And our government's claiming it doesn't apply to deposits here. So their behaviour is too suspicious. And this is essentially a slightly elaborated form of the amendment. Now, we started, we set the scene for this particular bill that Malcolm Roberts introduced last week, 7 or 8 months ago, actually, at your house. Because remember, I announced that the Citizens Party had started a new petition. And I want to remind people of that petition, and we'll put the link below, because this is going to be a key part of building the support for this, right? So please get on to the petition, sign it, and share it aggressively. Now, this is one and the same with the cash ban fight. So just a quick update on that. For instance, we know that you and I did a show on Friday. The report is pretty terrible, except there's. If they stick to the recommendations, especially the first recommendation, that can significantly delay, perhaps even kill this bill over time, right? And we have to see what the government's response will be. And what we do know, the only thing I can say concretely this week is we know behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff going on, especially in the Liberal Party, I'm sure in the Labor Party, about what position they're going to take on that cash ban report with the recommendations. But bail-in and things related to things like negative interest rates are the purpose for a cash ban, right? As well as being able to, you know, surveillance, et cetera. But it's controlling our behavior in a crisis. That's the purpose. They don't want us to be able to up stakes and get our money out of banks. right? If we know that there's a bail-in going to happen, then the bail-in won't work, right? They'll be run on the banks. And in fact, in Europe, where there's been a lot of bail-ins, they've had to introduce these premature capacity to introduce premature capital controls, right, to stop that being able to happen, just so they make their bail-in policy work. So we know that's what the issue is, and this is therefore one and the same fight. It's been introduced. One nation is at the moment it's scheduled for a debate on the 23rd of March. However, it would be very good, if not just a debate, but there's also a move to another inquiry. Now, before you all roll your eyes, right, I'm sure DFA viewers and Citizens Party Report viewers and Walk, that they're sick. Not another inquiry. You've got to appreciate just how much we're exposing how, you know, sausages are getting made to the public here, right? And the disgust is politically useful, believe me. It's starting to build a case against these major party institutions. But in this case, one thing an inquiry could draw out is the rather unique work that you and John Adams did on this question of bail-in, and I'll let you speak to this, relating to how that clause can be used in a crisis if APRA gets the banks to change their terms and conditions.
Yeah, well, there's a few things to say there, because of course we've shown that deposits are loans, so that means that basically it's not what you think, right? The banks have your money. Secondly, we know that money can be translated into equity into the bank if, in fact, there's a crisis before the bank folds, which means that the $250,000 deposit to insurance that the government runs is irrelevant, right? Yep. And then the third thing is the banks have quietly changed their terms and conditions to effectively allow huge flexibility around treating your deposit, so they don't need to give 30 days notice. Many of them now have effectively, we'll do whatever we need to. If we're told to do this, we'll do it, and you won't be able to sue us. So the legal framework has already been set up, and we'll put a link to the show where John and I discussed that. We've done quite a lot of work in the background here to lay the foundations to make it really, really clear that currently your deposits are not safe in the bank.
And having been very heavily involved in the first inquiry into that first bail-in legislation, what you've just said there is new evidence. None of that was considered at the time. It hadn't occurred to people. There's a scenario where, in all realism, realistically, Deutsche Bank could fold up on a Friday afternoon in Germany, because it's the Walking Dead anyway. That trigger a global crisis, but it's already past the closing time for banks in Australia, right? And APRA have the power to tell the banks, change your terms and conditions immediately to allow a bail-in, and the bail-in be done before you wake up on Monday morning. That's the sort of scenario that is plausible, and we have to make sure that cannot happen. Because what the government will say about this law is it only – oh, no. Well, their main excuse was, look, that law only applies to instruments that have bail-in in their terms and conditions. And what you've shown is you can actually insert bail-in in the terms and conditions of deposit accounts, right? We think so what we've done is we've applied an abundance of caution in this. I just want to read the opening paragraph here explanatory memorandum, Banking Amendment Deposits Bill 2020. This is the approach, right? General outline, this bill will avoid doubt as to the meaning and intent of various provisions in the Banking Act 1959 in relation to bail-in. The effect of the Banking Amendment Deposits Bill 2020 will be to confirm that the conversion and write-off provisions of the Banking Act 1959 do not apply to deposit accounts as defined in the bill, and to confirm that nothing in the Banking Act 1959 or any other Commonwealth legislation extends power to APRA to implement or authorise or direct the implementation of bail-in in respect of deposit accounts as defined in the bill. So that covers every possibility. It covers just, saying that any other instrument can apply to deposits, and it covers the scenario you and John highlighted, right? And here's where we got the government over the barrel. It's a catch-22 for them. They say that that law, that 2018 law, can't and won't be used for deposits. Well, all this amendment does is clarify that in the bill, right? There's other things about that bill, by the way, Martin, that we should also probably be concerned about, right? We've focused on this one thing, Bailey. Nothing in this amendment changes those other things in the bill, right? So that's all it does. It does to the bill what the government claims is their intention anyway. So what grounds would they have to oppose this amendment? They either let it go through, in which case we've stopped that bill being used for a bail-in, or if they oppose it, they're actually starting to expose that what their ulterior motive was all along, right? Yeah. And that'll be the issue. And if I can add this one final bit of reality here, on the 21st of February, a director of the Federal Reserve, Lael Brainard, gave a speech in the United States, New York, where she basically said, we have to have those unconventional policy measures to avert a banking crisis in place permanently. She talked about zero interest rates. The whole bail-in mechanism has to be in place. Well, without having said it specifically, bail-in is part of that suite of policies that they've developed, right? These people, this unelected, unaccountable financial elite that populate the world's central banks, right, and bank regulators largely, they have set up a system to keep the financial system going with all its ills, right, keep them propped up too at the public's expense. And this is one of those policies. And that system has never been shakier in the last decade since the 2008 crisis. There's a financial crisis ripping through it behind the scenes as we speak through the repo crisis, right? If there was ever a danger of being used, it's looming on us now. And that's why there's an urgency here to do this. So what I really recommend people do, you're already making calls against the cash ban, and a lot of you will be including bail-in in that. Tell people, when you're calling those politicians, inform them that Malcolm Roberts has introduced this bill and they have to support it. It's one in the same fight. Sign and share the petition below and get it out as widely as possible, right? Hands off our bank accounts, stop bail-in, that's what it's called. Let's get that out all over the place. And as more developments happen around this, we'll keep you posted and there'll be more stuff that you can do. But if we can achieve what we're doing here, it'll be the first place in the world outside of India where a bill was actually just completely pulled because of the public reaction. It'll be the first place in the world that there's a pushback like this, and that'll have global consequences.
Well, Robbie, all power to your elbow, because this is really, really important. So we will keep everybody informed as this develops over the next couple of weeks, and let's see how it plays out. It could not be more timely given what's happening around the world at the moment.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Martin.
Thanks for your time today. See you soon.
See ya.
So there you have it, the next bit of the jigsaw puzzle in terms of protecting our deposits. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.